Well, just we're going to be very quick this morning, and already we've heard some great things about the Word of God. Just want to share very briefly this morning before we pray, and I'll have lunch together in a little while, so that will be good. But just want to keep on talking a little bit about our theme this morning, about our call to war, and we've looked at some of the elements of the armour of God. We talked last week about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about that the belt of truth and the word truth there, when it refers to the belt, how it means your character. It means living a life that lines up with the Word of God. And the other, so making sure that there's not character defects within our lives, because we're going to come undone if that's the case. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about how that when we stand before the enemy, we do not stand in our own righteousness or we're gone. We're going to fall into condemnation. He will bring us down, but we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so the enemy cannot mess with us because we're standing in his righteousness, and that's what we talked about. I want to talk a little bit more, the last couple little bits of armor just to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about the helmet of salvation and then the shoes of the gospel. So let's we're going to look at that this morning. Our theme, we know, the scripture for the year, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we've been talking about fighting the good fight of faith. We're talking about this war that we're in, which is a battle for the hearts of men and women. It's a battle against the father of lies. It's for truth to come forth in Jesus' name. In Ephesians 6:14, the scripture we're familiar with, it says, stand firm then, and we talked about the different meanings of the word stand in the context of the scripture last week. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We spoke about that last week. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. We spoke about that too. And with your feet, that's what we want to talk about this week, with the fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So these shoes of the gospel. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. We talked about that, using faith and standing, what faith really is, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation. So we'll talk about the helmet today. And the sword of the Spirit, we talked about that, not just using the word defensively, but also offensively to work and take territory, utilizing the Word of God. So we've talked about those things in recent weeks. I want to talk, first of all, about this helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet can only go in one place. You try working around with a helmet on your foot, you're not going to get far, but a helmet goes on your head, and it's there for a reason. And I want to talk very quickly and very briefly about this helmet. That's really important. Remember, when we're talking about this armor of God, that the aspects of truth flow right through, permeate every part of this armor that we are wearing. And we saw the clip last week about the armor of God, and from our beginning of the year, from the vision, we saw that last week. You would have seen all those elements of that armor of God. But Isaiah 59:17, it's interesting when we talk about the armor of God, because we think about it as our armor, that the armor that we pick up and we put on. But what we've got to understand, this is actually God's armor, and that God gives us his armor and we put that armor on. I'm going to preach on this passage in Isaiah 59 one morning, but it says this about God himself. It says, he puts on righteousness as his breastplate. We talked about that last time. And the helmet of salvation on his head. So God himself, there's this image of God himself putting on this armor. And we're going to look at this passage. We'll cover that another day. But there's this image where God himself, he's fitting himself out for war. And he's putting on this breastplate. He puts on, he's got his shield, his sword. God himself is ready to go into battle. And he puts on this helmet of salvation. Now we know that God does not need saving. We know that Jesus is the Savior. But there's something about having this salvation right upon our head, that we are mindful of this. It's something that permeates our thoughts. In fact, everything out of our life flows out of the fact that we have salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God himself, he puts on this helmet of salvation, and we want to be ones that are walking with this helmet of salvation firmly fitted upon our heads and ready for everything that God has for us. I want to talk about very quickly, it's about right thinking at the end of the day. Remember, this battle is against the father of lies. It's about getting our thoughts right, aligned with truth. We talked about this belt of truth, which is about having our character, that there's no duplicity, no hypocrisy, no masks, no pretension, that our life actually marries up with the truth of the Word of God, about having that truth. We talked about it, about that last week, about things marrying up. But this morning, whenever it is, it's now, it's still now. Yes, it always is, isn't it? about thinking right, about having our thought processes right. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, and we know the scripture well, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And Mary was talking about some strongholds this morning. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every captive, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so it's about our thoughts. And we're taking our thoughts obedient to Christ against every stronghold of the thinking that would try to come against us, every thought pattern, every way of thinking, every cycle of defeat, every cycle of failure that the enemy tries to program and put into our hearts. So all of the words that tells us that we're unworthy, that we're hopeless, we're a failure, we're nothing. That's what we're bringing those strongholds down. Everything that comes against the knowledge of truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. And so we put on that helmet of salvation, which says that we are children of the living God, that Christ has died for us, He's washed us by His blood, that we stand before the Father holy and righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of what we celebrated at communion, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about having our thinking right. Because if your thinking is wrong, the devil's going to get you. You can stand there with good, solid character in place. You have the righteousness of Christ, which is given to you. That's just the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, which is given you. But if your thinking is all messed up, then the devil's going to take you down. And we need to make sure that our thoughts and our hearts are thinking according to the Word, according to the truth of what God has said, according to God's Word, and that our mind is sharp and it's alert. So many times we're told to be alert and to be sober-minded in our thinking, to be ready, to have our thinking right. Because you can be already dressed up, and if your thinking's over here, that you're in failure, you're in defeat, you're in hopelessness, He'll take you down. But we want to stand, no, I got the helmet of salvation. I know who I am. I know that I am the child of the living God, and I'm not going to let the enemy mess with me, even in my thought life. I'm going to have my thoughts aligned to the Word of God, what God says about me, about who I am, and stand in the authority and the victory of that. What about this helmet? This helmet. What actually does it mean if we're going to live our lives with our thoughts that are in the right way of thinking? And it actually gives us a clue. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says this: but since we belong to the day, it says, let us be sober. Now that means, yeah, let's not get drunk. And as Christians, we don't get drunk. But it's more than that. It's actually having our mind in the right place. It means to be sober-minded. It means the right way of thinking. So let's think right. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. It talks about the hope of salvation as a helmet. And actually, literally in Ephesians 6, where it talks about this helmet upon our head, it's the helmet of salvation, but it's actually the helmet of the hope of salvation. And you'll find that probably in the King James, it'll talk about that. And that's literally what the word means. It's the helmet of hope of salvation. And literally what it means is that we are constantly having in our lives that eternal perspective in your life. That when you live your life, you realize this life is not for what happens on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're all a part of life. And those Mondays, they all add up into a week. And, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have weeks that add up to months, that end up into years, years that add up to decades. And so goes on life. But it's not just about the passing of time, that we actually live for eternity. And if we've got this salvation, a helmet of salvation on our mind, on our heart, and this, it means that salvation is always on our mind. It means that we have an eternal perspective of life. And how often do people forget that when trouble comes upon them? They think that this is it, this woe is me, this is it, this is my life. It's not your life. It's a time, it's a season. Paul says, he talks about our light and momentary troubles which fade in the light of the glory of God. And when you're going through some troubles, they don't necessarily seem so light, and they seem pretty big. But if we've got the helmet of salvation on, and we've got that perspective, eternal perspective, we realize, hang on a moment, this problem is not my life. In fact, even my life here is really for one reason. The reason I'm living this life is to come into intimate relationship with my Father in heaven. And secondly, to let other people know that. And so that we're mindful of that. And when you're going through a tough time, keep it in perspective. We so easily lose perspective. And that's part of wearing this helmet on, is you keep it in perspective. Hang on. At the end of the day, as big as this problem seems, I'm saved. I have a promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. I have the hope of salvation. Whenever the Bible talks about hope, it's not wishful thinking. It's the yearning and it's the knowledge of the salvation that is yet to come in Christ Jesus, that when He comes back, when He returns. And so you live with that mindset. If that's how you think, when you go through a hassle, when you go through a problem, think, hang on, let me put this in perspective. I've got to put this in there. The problem that I'm going through, the struggle that I'm going through, in the perspective of eternity, it really is not a big deal. And if we can live our lives knowing that, hang on, my life is for eternity, I live for eternity, and really have that perspective, that makes all the difference in our life. It's having that helmet of the hope of my future salvation. And so that when you're going through things, be mindful of that. Keep the eternal perspective. When you're caught up in the routine of life, and it's so easy to get caught up in the routine of life that we forget that your neighbor is going to hell. We forget your loved one that you might see them two or three times a year who doesn't know Jesus Christ. You know what will happen to them if they don't give their life to Christ. But we get so caught up in the day-to-day life. We get caught up in your job. We get caught up with the things that are happening around us. And life seems to take over everything. And then we lose the focus of, hang on, there's that eternal perspective. I actually do have something that I'm called to do. And I'm mindful of my salvation. And so when the enemy tries to come against me, tells me I'm nothing, say, no, I know who I am. I am a child of the living God. And you've got nothing to say to me. I'm not going to listen to whatever the enemy throws at me. But I'm mindful of people around me. I don't get caught up. I'm mindful that this is about eternity. Life is about forever. It's not about tomorrow morning. It's not about the next meal. What are we having for dinner? What are we having for lunch? It's about eternity, and it's about bringing people into that eternal kingdom. And that's certainly what that means. And so that we keep that context in our life. You're saved. Remember that. When all else fails, I am saved. Praise God, I am saved. But more than that, I'm mindful. I'm mindful of salvation, that people need to be saved. Why has God got a helmet of salvation on? It's to show us that He's mindful of that. That's always on God's heart. Always on His heart that people get saved, people get delivered out of darkness and come into eternal life. And that needs to stir in our own hearts. That's what God wants to stir in our hearts. And so it's about the mindset. It's about the way that you think. Do you think eternally? Do you have an eternal perspective on things? Or are you thinking about Monday morning? You're thinking about what's happening in a week's time? Or are you living forever? And that means to live now forever, live every day with that eternal perspective in my life. As I go through stuff, at the end of the day, as painful as some things are, as difficult as some things are, at the end of the day, Lord, I've got it all. I've got my salvation in Jesus Christ, Lord, and I can persevere, I can stand, and I know who I am in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I can have a heart for other people. Some people say, oh, don't talk to me about reaching out to others. If you were going to know what I was going through, you wouldn't put that on me. I'm not putting it on you. You put on yourself. You put on that helmet of salvation. You get life in perspective and you realize, hang on a minute. It's not woe is me. It's saved is me. I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. And yes, I'm going through a hard time. But even in the midst of that, I can have that heart for other people that are struggling. I can get them saved and reach out to them. And that's certainly what the next element, and going quickly this morning, is about the shoes of the gospel that it talks about. It talks about these wonderful shoes. It says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And it's something about that. From the very head, we have salvation, but right to the bottom, on our feet, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is about salvation. And that says something to me, that from head to toe, we are to be people that are full of the gospel of Jesus Christ and ready to tell people about Jesus Christ. How ready are you? How ready are you to see your loved ones saved? How ready are you to see your neighbors saved? How ready are you? There's a challenge in your newsletter about inviting people, and I trust that you read that newsletter and you get the message of that God has called us to actually put on something under our feet. Two reasons to put something on. It's interesting that when it says that, in addition, it says, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's interesting, isn't it? In war, call to war, getting your armor on, ready to go. You put on the shoes. And by the way, these aren't any ordinary sandals that you can go down and buy at whatever store you buy yours from. These are actually very solid. You could actually walk on a sharp wooden spike and it wouldn't penetrate these shoes. In fact, these shoes, if comes up to the next little slide there, you'll see that they've actually got these whopping big hobnails sticking through the bottom of them, and that's what they look like. So they're actually something in these that you could, in a battlefield, there's all sorts of stuff to step on. And in life, man, there's plenty of stuff to step on. Some of it's ooey gooey smelly stuff that I don't want to step in that. Some stuff is, it'll cut me. It'll cut me even to the core. It'll get right in there unless I've got my feet shod in these with the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that I'm saved, knowing whom I am. But there's something about these shoes, and so they're there are to protect us. Romans 10:15, it says this. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. There's something about being ready to bring good news, that you're ready for that. We talked about the stance and the positioning of it when we're ready to go to the war, in the war with the word stand, it means. And so I'm ready now. I'm primed and I'm ready to go. What am I primed and ready to do? Well, I'm primed to go into battle. What am I fighting for? I'm fighting to see men and women come into the eternal kingdom of God. And so I've got my feet shod ready with the gospel. I know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of you have given your life to Christ. You know what it is to give your life to Christ. You have a testimony. You are ready to go. You're ready. You don't have to know every verse in the Bible. You have to know your own testimony. You have to know that your own salvation, and you're ready to go. And we're ready to go and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ and have these good feet, beautiful feet that are ready to take the good news. Because it's not all about the armor of God. Is not about you standing there. And when all is said and done, I've stood. Now, we've talked about, again, the meaning of the word stand. And yes, first time it says stand. When the enemy comes, come on, I'll take you on. You're not going to beat me. Second word we said is when the enemy comes there, you chop, boom, 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 pile of enemy there. You're standing there. I have stood the day. But finally, where it says, and finally you're going to be strong, that's ready. I am primed to go. I am ready to take territory. I'm ready to see people come into the kingdom of God. And I trust that we have that in our hearts. We're thinking eternally. Don't get caught up in this life. Don't get caught up. People who live their lives for the television. I've got to be home by 6 o'clock to watch some drivel. You know, and their life is around the television, or the life gets caught up amongst a whole lot of stuff. I'm not saying those things are evil, but I'm saying our perspective is eternity. Always have an eternal perspective on life and having our feet ready to tell people about Jesus Christ. How ready are you? Because your family members that don't know Christ are already crying out inside. Your neighbours, your workmates, there's something crying in their heart that they want to know this. And we just got to be ready to go out and get out there. Those who bring the good news. The good news, you have to take it. And then they're not going to come to us. We've got to take it. Don't expect them to still come pouring in the door. They're going to come in the door because we've gone out there. We've put our shoes on. We're ready. And whatever the terrain is, whatever, whether it's rejection or whatever it is that I might go along the way, it's not going to penetrate me because I've got these shoes on and I'm going to go forward and I'm going to tell people about the love of Christ. It says in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be prepared to give an account for the hope that you have, but to do this with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to give an account for the hope that you have. Are you ready? Someone comes up to you, you walk out the door, little old lady walking past says, oh, why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? Are you ready? Are you ready? Can you tell them? Tell them about, well, Jesus died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for you. He died in your place for the sin that you've done, that you don't have to have eternal punishment, but in fact that you can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. You can have the promise to be with him forever in heaven, that you won't stand to God on your own righteousness, whether I've been a good enough or not. No, it's on by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we ready to do that? And finally, the things about these shoes, which are pretty mean looking shoes that the soldiers, they had a couple of different ones. They had marching shoes and then they had the shoes ready for battle. And they were necessary because there'd be all sorts of stuff. The Romans, they had these things called caltrops. They'd throw them down, little sharp things that are spikes on its three angles. You stand on them, and the whole idea is to cripple you. And I tell you what, if someone takes you down on your feet, you're in trouble. As they said that, you know, an army rises or falls, not just on its stomach, but on its feet. And if you've got foot problems in war, you're useless. You're useless because if you've got the trench foot, your feet are starting to rot away, or you've got stood on these things that have gone right up into your feet. How are you going to march? How are you going to take territory? So we need to make sure that we're always ready for the gospel. But finally, Romans 16:20, it says this: the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And it's great to know that when the devil comes to you, and I know that I am saved, and I know I stand in the power of the living Christ, that I stand and I'm fitted out in the armor of God. I've got the shoes of the gospel. I'm ready to take that out there. That I'm standing and I've got my integrity in order. I've got my character right. And as I said, we all fall and whatever, but I'm talking about character issues. No, I've got that. And I've got the belt of truth on here. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. I'm standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I've got the helmet of salvation. My mindset is I'm living for eternity. I'm not hung up about tomorrow or 5 years, 10 years' time. But I'm living for eternity. And every decision I make, every choice I make is in context of eternity. It's an eternal decision. And I'm conscious of that in my life, not hung up about this life. And then I've got the shield of faith, which every lie of the devil he comes at me, tries to tell me I'm this or that, boom, no, he's not getting through there. And I've got the sword of the Spirit of God. And I know how to parry the blows, but I know how to put one right in the Word of God. It'll go in, penetrate into someone's heart and see them set free. But we're ready to go. We're ready in battle. But when the enemy comes, it says a God of peace will crush the enemy at his peace. That was great when that thing kept coming at Mary, or she just poked her tongue at her. Fantastic. You know the story of Smith Wigglesworth, when the devil came to him and his bed levitated and was shaking and whatever. He opens his eyes at the devil at the end of his bed, and Wigglesworth just says, "Oh, it's just you." Goes back to sleep. We're not afraid of the devil, but we've got these boots on, and when the devil comes, I'm going to actually give him a bit of a kick. And I'm going to get the enemy, and it says that you will crush him under your feet. And you see these soccer players in the World Cup, someone kicks them, they fall around crying for 4 hours. But sometimes it does hurt if those studs, you know, if you get the studs in the face, you've seen those players have had the studs in the face, that actually hurts. I've seen on a little clip, there's little puncher marks there. It looks like a snake's got them, but it's just that can actually penetrate the skin. Well, you've got these boots on, and when the enemy comes against you, the enemy comes, it says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. That's the victory that we have. But we're not afraid of the enemy. When he comes, we say, no, enemy, you're under these feet. And when he feels it, he's not going to slip out of there, because these things are holding him, and he knows that he's under your feet. And we need to remind him, no, devil, how dare you think you can come against me? You're actually under my feet. And so we're people that stand, not in defeat, but the devil's under our feet. We stand in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you this morning, as we talked about this armor of God that we stand in, and this morning particularly about your mindset. What's your thinking like? Do you get caught up in these thinking patterns? If your mind is not aligned to the truth of who God says you are, your thoughts go all over the place. Well, I pray this morning, even as we pray in a moment, that every thought will be taken captive under Jesus Christ. Any strongholds of your thinking, of these patterns of thinking where you get caught up in just low self-esteem, low self-worth, where things get you down all the time, where you're hung up, where you're worried about stuff, always worrying about what might happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to live forever with Jesus Christ, reigning in eternity. That's a guarantee if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be thinking about. Not whether I'm going to walk out there and a car's going to run me over, or a bus or whatever, or all the whatevers, what may be or whatever. I'm going to think about what is certain, and my certainty is the love of God upon my life. Certainty that God is for me, who can be against me? And I'm standing in that victory of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to be thinking about, that this life is for that. And I've got these shoes and I'm ready. I trust, stir yourself up and say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm ready because, tell you what, they are ready. The fields are ripe for the harvest. People are just waiting for someone to have the courage to invite them. Just have the courage to ask them. Say, and people are crying out. Some people amazingly don't realize they're allowed to come to church. You invite some, can people from outside the church go? Oh, can they do that? Someone said that to me. Not this Saturday. We've got the marriage seminar this Saturday, and we do need to know today. So if you're coming, please let us know. The following Saturday, which is the 26th, we've got the community coming here. We're having in the multi-purpose room, there's a community forum about the undergrounding of the railway station, which will be happening. So it's lots of people from the community will come, and they'll be here, and they're going to be talking about the undergrounding of that station. The Vic Roads will be here, and this is the venue that it's all happening at. So people will come in. But when I was talking to this group that I'm on, it's a subgroup of a subgroup. I won't go into how it's all in, but involved in areas of the community here. And they're saying, yeah, come along and say, oh, look, and someone said, oh, can people go along to the church? Can anyone just go along, can they? And I thought, oh, my gosh. But people think like that. That they think it's some little exclusive little club. And unless you invite them, unless you bring them, they don't think they're even welcome in the door. And yet we sit here praying, Lord, just send them in. Well, we need to go tell them. We need to invite them. We need to have the shoes of the gospel on, ready and primed. And I'm ready, and I'm ready to tell people about that. You'd be amazed that I was actually a little bit taken back. But there was two or three even in that conversation. And one or two said, oh, yeah, look, maybe I'll come along sometime. I said, yeah, well, let's organise that so you can come, and that would be great. You're welcome to come any time, but to work out a time, just getting them all here is going to be a start, plus whoever comes in the community is a beginning to do that. But people think that. People think that. So don't think there's a sign and people will see it. Let's be ready to tell people. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray this morning. And I want to pray, Lord, first of all, for the thought processes. That if your mind gets so caught up in the struggles of life, and you've lost that sense of eternal perspective this morning, I really want to pray for us that we'll have that mindset. Hang on, I live for eternity. And the end of the day, I win. In fact, at the end of the day, I've already won because I have Christ within my life. But if you're struggling in your thought processes, I want to pray this morning. And that readiness, if you realize, hang on, I'm not ready. I've been so distracted, so diverted, so caught up with all the other things in life that I'm not ready to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm not actually looking actively ready for that territory to take. It's not about just standing defensively. It's about territory. It's about taking ground. You do not win a war by standing in place. You win a war by advancing and taking territory. The only territory we really want to take is people coming into the kingdom of God, to see people set free and finding the same hope that we have. And finally, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of the service, I'd love to pray with you that you would know what it is to be saved. You know what it is to have Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross count for you, that you can have the hope of salvation, that you don't live this life worried about when you're dying. You know, I've spoken a couple of times to Alfred, and he's just ready to go home to be with the Lord. He's got no fear of death. How many people live this life fear of death? If you've given your life to Christ, you're not fearful of death. You know the hope that you've been called to. So, Father, we just thank you now. Father, I just pray, Lord, for anyone here this morning, Lord, that in their own thought processes, Lord, they're really struggling, Lord, just to keep it together, Father, because of the problems and emotions and things that seem to rise up and almost be overwhelming at times. Lord, the problems seem to take over. Father, I pray, Lord, that this day, that they'll just even mentally see themselves and say, no, I've got the helmet of salvation on me. And Lord, I'm thinking about what you've done for me. Lord, I'm thinking about the wonder of your love and grace that you've expressed for me. Lord, that I stand with a wonderful salvation, Lord, and I don't just live for this life. Lord, I'm living for eternity. My eternity is assured, Lord. The blessing of God is assured, Lord. Those things are upon my life, Lord, and I want to have that upon my head, that all the stupid thoughts that would try to come in, no, they would fall away in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that we'd be ready as your people, Lord, that we're ready to tell people, Lord, we're ready to invite people, Lord, we're ready to bring people in, Lord, that they might come into relationship with Jesus Christ, so that we're not so caught up with all of the things. Oh, what if they reject me? Whatever. No, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Whatever the terrain is, however strong or difficult it is, Lord, or whatever pitfalls may be there, Lord, no, your gospel will carry me. And Lord, I'm going to carry your gospel. I'm going to have blessed feet. I'm going to be one who brings that good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, let that determination be on every person in this church, Lord, because we know we're in a battle for life and death, Lord, with eternal ramifications. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that we will determine, no, we're going to go and we're going to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. So we're going to bring them. We're going to tell them about Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, they've never come and stood and said, I need Jesus in my life. I need to get things right with God. I don't want to stand before God on me trying to be a good person, but I want to stand before God because of the goodness of Jesus Christ, that by taking his salvation, what he did on the cross, that it applies for me, that my sin is dealt with, that he takes away my sin and gives me his righteousness, his love and his grace, so that I can have confidence before God, that he can have a relationship with him without any hindrance, without anything to hold me back, Lord, and that I can stand and know that I'm going to live forever with 100% confidence with my Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you this day, Lord, they will come and give their heart to you. But Father, I pray that you speak to every heart this day. Speak to every heart, Lord. Touch each one, I pray. And Father, we want to have our thoughts aligned right. Lord, every part of this armor that we've spoken on, Father, our character right, Lord, standing in your righteousness, Lord, not our own, holding the word of God in our hand, Lord, standing in faith, Lord, with that helmet, Lord, our mindset right, Lord, upon the things of God, Lord, our feet ready to go. Ready to go, Lord, ready to tell people about the peace that they can have in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you challenge us and stir us as men and women of God, Lord, for the young people, Lord, even for the children. Lord, we heard about how you're using children, Lord, to do incredible miracles, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's the same Holy Spirit, not a junior version, Lord. It's the same Holy Spirit. And, Father, we thank you from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, that you will touch every heart this day in Jesus' name. Amen.